This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Imagine a blank page, and on that blank page, the opening sentence is a writer's greatest torment and seduction. For Jack Driscoll, it's irresistible. He's the author of 11 novels, short story collections, and books of poetry. Driscoll talks about writing his new story collection, The Goatfish and the Lover's Knot.
Nothing ever comes full-blown to me. In fact, I have no clue where I'm headed, but believe that if I can write an opening sentence that's interesting enough for me, then I can get a story, having no idea where it's headed. And this is true when I was writing poems. If I could get an interesting first line, mm-hmm. I would just follow wherever that led me. With the short story, that first sentence announces what's possible in the next, and the next after that, and the next after that. And in the process, story forms. So mm-hmm. It forms mostly out of character and place, not out of the plot, almost never.
And that first sentence is always the hardest, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's
most intimidating, perhaps?
Well, it sets up. There's a writer named Stephen Milhauser who says, in that grain of sand is contained the entire beach that holds that grain of sand. In other words, it's a condensed version of the whole story. Mm. So it's, for me, the single most important sentence of the story.
So describe this collection to us, The Goatfish and the Lover's Knot, 10 stories. Are you able to create a story that describes the stories? Describe the book for us.
This would be a much better question for me to answer about a year or 2 years from now. Some of these stories are so new. I had just recently, a year ago, beginning in January, maybe the single greatest writing stretch of my life in any genre. They just came. It was a kind of fire I hadn't experienced for a long time. The stories are set up here, and I love characters who dare to hope against hope, even when the odds are so stacked against them. So there's what I hope is a compassionate character development for all of them. As I said, they're set here in northern Michigan. The title itself is from a story, and I'm looking at a galley right mm-hmm. now, and I'm looking into the eons, into the firmament, into all the stars up there, and the goatfish and the lover's knot refer to two constellations. So the stories are sort of set against that, too. I'm not exactly sure when the motif started, not with this book, but maybe with The World of a Few Minutes Ago. And it's something that I like to do. I like to walk out at night, and particularly, say, under the northern lights, and look up just to remind myself how small I am, and maybe provisional, but certainly passing through. And there's that element, too, time. As Jim Harrison says, time rushes towards me. It has no brakes. Or Galway Canal, who says, here I sat by the river's steaming boulders and considered time, which is next to nothing, merely what vanishes and yet can make one's elbows nearly pierce one's thighs. And I've been thinking about that quite a lot. It keeps coming up in the work. That's implicit here, too. There's one story that's called On This Day You Were All Your Ages. It's a story in which a woman relives her entire life. And it ends with an image of her walking across the backyard, the first step she's ever taken toward her mother, who's waiting with her arms out. So it goes all over the place in time. That sense that time is not only in the present, but it's stereoscopic, it's composite, that the past ticks inside the present. And that's one of the concerns of the book, too.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I asked Jack Driscoll if his characters sometimes come back to haunt him long after he's written their last sentence.
I'm a Luddite. I belong to the Lead Pencil Club. I know nothing about technology. And I wasn't even sure. I pulled my wallet out of my back pocket, and I said, remember those plastic inserts in the wallets where we used to put our pictures, pictures of our kids, pictures of our husbands or wives, people we love? And I said, because I can't do it on a phone, I only have a flip phone and don't know how to do any of this, I said, maybe what I'd like to do is take the pictures of my characters and just put them in my wallet. And then I could, you know, show a picture and say, "Do you remember Marley Ann and Riley Jack? Remember that time they stole that horse?" That's how I feel about the characters. And so, yeah, they do come up in conversation. And then if I were to write a novel, I might even think about my existing characters, short story characters, and make them part of a larger tapestry.
You know, Jack, I think that's a story in itself, a writer pulling up a wallet with pictures of it. There's something to that. Don't let that go.
All right.
And as a teacher, you teach writing. What's the most important lesson, surely, from experience that you pass on to your students?
Well, I tell them to make it matter.
Yeah.
I tell them to make it beautiful. I tell them that two things are involved, talent and a fanatical hardcore work ethic, and that the second half of the equation is much more important than the first, that talent has to discover its equivalent in a hardcore, persistent hardcore work ethic. And if they work on it and work on it and work on it and work on it, the chances are that they're going to get better. And they need to be the ones who are standing in the end, not to give up on themselves, just trust that this will happen for them. I also tell them, and I underscore it often, that it might turn out to be the single most difficult thing they've ever done. It has been for me.
I think that that's true for just about any creative. It's the thing that's hardest for you to do, but that you love the most, and maybe because it's so hard, most satisfying when you're done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And in that way, it becomes sort of reward in itself. Just and the routine. I work with a writer who was on a panel, and well, there were several people up on the panel. And Frank Gaspar said to him, his advice was, touch it every day, meaning the keyboard, just touch it every day, just to make it part of your life, or in my case, the center of my life. And I try to do that. We can be full-time human beings, and that's a good preparation for writing, but we can't be literally full-time writers because we have a life to live as well. But I make an effort in one way or another to touch it every day. And I tell them this too.
Yeah.
And nothing buoys my spirits more than to see my students do well, land a story in a good journal, or to publish their first story collection or novel or book of poems or whatever that might be. My wife and I are bibliophiles, we're book collectors, and I don't know how many thousands, I've kind of lost count, but I have one shelf that is designated only for books by my former students, and I would give away all the other books I own, and a lot of these are first edition signed copies, just to keep that one shelf of books by my students, which now exceeds my wingspan. So it's not just a single shelf anymore. It's gone over deep into a second one now.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Jack Driscoll, the author of The Goatfish and the Lover's Knot. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.